Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of our service from last Sunday's worship. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor at the United Church of Christ of California. You're always welcome at our Sunday services. Sunday school is at 9:30 with donuts and juice available in the gym. Worship starts at 10:30 with a nursery for your little ones. We would be so excited and privileged to have you attend our Sunday services as we worship together as one family serving Christ.
Arise, shine, for your light has come.
And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
Nations shall come to your light.
And rulers to the brightness of your rising.
Let us worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
As with gladness.
Our children's time is led by Joanne Cantrell.
What have we been doing this Advent? The manger. What have we been doing to the manger? We've been adding something every Sunday. Well, guess what? We got three to add today. The three wise men. What else were they called? The three kings. That's right. And they got to the manger. They were the last ones there. How long do you think it took them wise men to get there? How many? Over a week? That's a good guess. How much longer? Over a month? That's another guess. Do you know that we are not for sure, but it could have been over a year? Yeah, it could have been. Well, that's a long walk too, isn't it? Because you know why? When they saw the star, they had to go talk to Herod. Well, he was in one place. And Herod says, hey, if you find him, I want to know too, because I want to come worship him. But we all know that Herod didn't want to do that, did he? What did Herod want to do? He wanted to kill him, didn't he? He wanted to hurt the baby Jesus. So the wise men traveled. Oh, if you've ever been to Jerusalem, from where King Herod's palace was in Jerusalem to where Bethlehem was about as far as from here to Jefferson City. But you had to go up hills and down deep valleys and around because they couldn't climb through all of that. And it took them a long time to get there. How long would it take you to walk to Jefferson City? About an hour? Well, that's good. Boy, that's good traveling. Close to 12, well, maybe not quite that many, but it would take us 4 or 5 hours to get there. That's a half a day. Now, just think if we had to go down big old deep rocky ditches. I'm talking big ditches, taller than this church. Big ditches. And we had to go around. It might take us a longer time to get there too, mightn't it? But why do we talk about the kings coming to the manger? They gave Jesus and his family gifts. But that's just part of it. Why do you think they really came to see baby Jesus? He was their king. That's right. That's the most important part. Yes, they brought gifts, but they came and they said, oh, this baby Jesus, he's the best king. He is our king. Oh, a baby? A king? Wow. That's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. But you know what that meant for us? That meant that they went out and told the whole world Jesus was here. And they said that he was our king. So they recognized that.
Our anthem this morning is by our senior choir. Our first scripture readings are by Brad Frederick.
First scripture reading is taken from the first book of John, chapter 4, verses 19 to 21. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God should love his brother also. This ends the first reading. The second reading is from Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 to 14. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Here ends the second reading.
Our gospel reading comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 28 through 34. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, "What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You can follow along with the sermon in the bulletin. There's an outline there. There's a few things that you can fill in if you want to keep track of that, to remember the sermon through the week and look up some of the scriptures there. But Happy New Year to everyone again. The first Sunday of 2019. I'm not real hip on odd-numbered years for some reason. I don't know if it's Doug because we graduated in 84. Those even-numbered years are good. Olympics used to be even-numbered years. I like that as well. I don't know what the issue is. But, you know, Betty and I have never really celebrated New Year's that much. In fact, the first year that we were married, we were living in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I had to preach that Sunday morning, which was New Year's Day, which meant New Year's Eve was Saturday. And if you know anything about Indiana and Ohio, Indiana for many years did not go on, they just kept their time the same. They did not change when we changed. And so there was times of the year, even though you were only across the border from Ohio, they would be an hour ahead of you sometimes, or you would be an hour behind them sometimes. And so I was preaching at a little church in Indiana while I was in seminary, and it was over 2 hours away, which meant on that day I had to get up an extra hour early to get there. And so we made the decision to go to bed at 9 o'clock on New Year's Eve, the first year that we were married. Boy, aren't we the most exciting people ever. But my wife, and you know, just wanting to keep with all those things, she set the alarm for 11:55 that night to wake us up. So she rolled over, said, Happy New Year. I think we kissed each other, and we both rolled back and went back to bed, and we got up and went to church the next Sunday. Well, things have not changed a lot in 30 years. This past New Year's Eve, she went to bed at 11 o'clock. She watched the ball fall in New York City. I stayed up till midnight, of course, to see all the New Year in. But, you know, it's the first of the year, the first Sunday of the year to get together. And we see a lot of first in the Bible. The first day that God created, he created light and darkness. There was evening, there was morning on the first day. We have the first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We have the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine. Followers of Christ were called Christians first in Antioch in Acts chapter 11. We have the first day of the week, Sunday, that we get together and worship. But, you know, first things first, which means put the important things first. Let everything else kind of fall to the side, or they'll be secondary. But first things first. You know, my dad's not here today, so I can tell a story on him, all right? So you guys keep it secret, all right? But when we go fishing, when we get to the boat ramp, my dad is meticulous about the boat and our gear. We do not get into the water till he's checked everything. The gas tank, you know, the batteries, whatever. And, I mean, I'm ready to go fishing. All right, forget about the stuff. We'll take care of it. If we have a problem, Dad, we'll take care of it. When we get on the water, I'm ready to catch fish. But no, he's got to check everything and make sure everything's right. And that one time when you think, you know, hey, you know, Dad, just, you know, pay attention to me, let's just go, he finds something wrong with the boat. And so we had to stay at the boat ramp for 30 minutes checking on this. And one time it was a button that wouldn't raise or lower the motor. I'm like, what's the big deal about that? Just let's get in the water. We'll take care of it. There's a problem. Well, sure enough, it was something to do with the battery. It took us 30 minutes to fix it. But if we had found that out on the water, who do you think would have been having to fix that? Leaning over the back end of out in the middle of the lake. But, you know, we want to concentrate on things that are first, so the other things take care of themselves. So what's the first thing that we want to concentrate this year in 2019 that should be first in our lives? The first one that we find there is in Matthew chapter 6 that we just read right there. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When we see his kingdom, that means there must be another kingdom out there that we can pursue. Maybe it's our kingdom. Maybe it's our focus instead of focusing on the things that God wants us to focus on. What's important to him should be important to us. He says not only to seek his kingdom, but also his righteousness. What does that mean? It means having a personal relationship with Christ that he makes right because of the sacrifice that he made on the cross for us. But the question to us is his kingdom slowly encroaching upon our kingdom? You know, we've got our wants, our wishes, our desires, but when we become a Christian, are we letting God's wishes and wants, His desires, overtake our life? You know, when my cousins and I got together, there are different times in the summer or over the holidays, we'd always play games, whether it be outside, you know, baseball, you know, wiffle ball, football, basketball, whatever. But when we came inside, we played games. We played, you know, cards. We played board games. One of our favorite board games was Risk. I don't know how many people ever played Risk, but, you know, it's the world domination game, and it's, you know, played with little, you know, little emblems there that have different colors on them. You get, you know, assigned to you different countries, then you roll dice, you try to conquer the world. My color was always red. I was the red menace, and my other cousin, he wore the black ones. I had the black ones. He was the black horde, and we had the green hornet. I forget what we had. Everybody had their different color. But the object of the game was to overtake the whole world, and that your color of peace dominated the whole world on that board. And so you'd roll dice, you'd try to, you know, dominate my other cousin or whatever, and by the end you was hoping that red took over the whole board. And that's what God wants to do with our board, our lives. He wants to dominate our lives. He wants us to seek His kingdom first. Paul said it this way in Colossians 3, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. You know, what's important to us? You know, we just got done with the treasures of earth, that, you know, at the Christmas time of season. It's easy to get distracted. You know, Christmas time is about presents, but then January comes, and you know what arrives in January to remind you of Christmas. It's the JCPenney, it's the Kohl's, it's the Sears bills that come in that to remind you of what you spent on Christmas, the treasures of earth. One author put it this way. He says, practically it comes to be a question of first and second, supreme and subordinate. And if the kingdom be indeed first, it will keep all else in its proper place. I was reading Psalms. I've been reading Psalms for the last month or two. And this psalm came through just a couple weeks ago, Psalm 39. David wrote, show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Surely everyone goes around like mere phantom. In vain they rush about, heaping up wealth without knowing whose it will finally be. He tells us right there, seek God's kingdom first, because we only got a short time here on this earth, but we got to focus on the right things. I know when Dad and I fish down at the lake, we have different, you know, things on the bank that help us figure out where the crappie bed's at. We got a tree that has a broken limb in it. We got a dock that has a Honda on the back of the boat that's in the dock right there. And so we kind of get ourselves zeroed in, and we have the depth finder that helps us find the exact depth that the crappie bed's at so we can start catching fish. That's what Jesus is telling the people right here. He says, set your depth finder at the right distance. Look at the right landmarks on the shore to find my kingdom. But then the second thing that we look at there, the second thing that we want to focus on, the second first thing that we want to be part of our new year, we see here in Matthew chapter 22, a man comes up to Jesus and asks him, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. They had over 600 commandments that they had to follow. We talked about this in Sunday school class today, in Abe's Sunday school class. They had over 600 laws and commandments to follow. In fact, they had 365 negative ones, one for each day of the year to remember. And if they broke one law, they broke all of the laws. So the guy comes here and he's just asking, now, which one is the most important? Which one do I need to concentrate on the most? And Jesus tells them, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He says, put God at the top of the list and everything else will fall into order. Last week we were at Betty's family's Christmas, and they did a neat thing. They had an escape room that we were part of, that you go in there and you have to find clues so you can get out of the room. And so we broke up in the different groups, and I was with a brother-in-law and some nieces and nephews, and we went in there. It took us 5 minutes to find the first clue. And then we had to get help to get that clue. They were listening on the outside, and they knew we were struggling, so they said, check the closet, check the closet. But once we found the first clue, everything else fell into place. It's the same here. Jesus tells that man, and he tells us today, to love the Lord our God with our heart, our soul, and our minds. They've got to all be combined. Out of our hearts, our mouth speaks. That's where our treasure is. Our soul, our psyche, that's the part that belongs to God. That's the part that lives on eternally. David said, he said, restore my soul. My soul pants for thee. Jesus then said, you can kill the body, but you can't kill the soul. It's our essence, our being that God sees us as. And then finally, he tells us to love him with our mind. That's the part that we make decisions. That's the part that we process information. Paul talks about wearing the helmet of salvation so it can protect our minds, so that we are keeping out harmful information, harmful temptation, harmful blows that can keep us from loving God and putting him first. Paul wrote it this way in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He says, do not conform any longer to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And by it, you will be able to test and approve God's pleasing and perfect will. He tells us there that we are to love God with everything we are in every possible way. Love him with all we are and all we have. So the first two first that we have is to seek his kingdom first and to love God first, but then to love others. Look at 1 John 4:19. We read it earlier. We love because he first loved us. We talked about this in our Sunday school class this morning. Read the next two verses. They're verses 20 and 21. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. So we've talked about our focus, which is seeking God's kingdom. We've talked about our energy, loving God. And now we've talked about our action. How do we love others like God has loved us? See, our love is a response to his love. His love gives us the power to love people that are unlovable. You know, he told the one man what the first commandment was. Then he tells him, what's the second commandment? To love your neighbor as yourself. You know, people have been asking me the last, when we got to church at Salem, we had a great worship service out there. They said, well, how was your week this week? You know, and they're expecting kind of the standard answer. And I had to be honest with them. I said, man, it's been a tough week. I said, you know, I got notified Wednesday night that, just one of kind of the prayer warriors of my life. I wrote about her in our first newsletter, Flossie Clark from Tuscumbia. I got notified Wednesday night. She was sick. Her son called me and said, Rush, she's real sick. I just want to let you know. And I said, do I need to come down? He said, no. They're giving her some medicine. I think she's going to be all right and everything. Well, then I got the call Thursday at work. She had passed away overnight, 97 years old. And so I had to go down there Friday, meet with the family, get the funeral ready. We did the funeral yesterday down in Iberia, Missouri. And, they told stories about Flossie. And I knew a bunch of them, but they told some others. She only graduated the eighth grade. She got married when she was 15 years old. And all of her life, she lived Christ's love out to those around us. And they told one story in particular that really struck me strong. The last time I got to see her was at the Birdsong Reunion in Eldon, Missouri, at the railroad park there, right across from the Creamy. Some of you know where that's at. And many years ago when they had the reunion, they showed up there. And back in the day when the railroad ran through Eldon, Rock Island Railroad. And they show up at the park and there's a hobo, lo and behold, sleeping underneath one of the picnic tables they're going to have the reunion with. One of the family members ran that hobo off. Said, man, get out of here. We don't want you around. This is our shelter. We're going to stay here. This is our place. You go somewhere else. And so he kind of shuffled off to another shelter, kind of stayed out of the way. And they got everything set up they had. Got ready for dinner. And what did Flossie do? She put two plates of food together and she walked over to that other shelter. And she gave food to a hobo that she never knew because she wanted to show God's love and Christ's love to someone that needed to hear his message. What things can we do in our community today? The balance is love and truth with actions. Adhering to truth, but also showing people God's love. James said it this way, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims they have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? You see that this faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. That's the trick, isn't it? Putting our faith with our actions in the right combinations. I'm reminded the story of Jesus healing the 10 lepers. How many came back to Jesus and praised God for the great miracle that happened? One. Why didn't Jesus just heal the one if he knew only one was going to come back? He healed them all. And that's the challenge to us today. You might say, Russ, there's too many for us to help. They won't appreciate the help that we give them. Who knows if they'll turn their life around? Jesus tells us to plant the seeds, to water the seeds, and he'll take care of the harvest. But see, we must meet the needs of hurting people in our community. We love because he first loved us. We need to help people overcome their grief or the abuse or the addiction. As a church, we need to pray for ways to meet the needs of our community in unique and powerful ways. If we do that, we get the right combination of truth and love, this church will grow, and the walls will not be able to contain all the people that will come. And the last thing that he tells us, the last thing that we need to put on the top of our list is found in Revelation chapter 22. He writes there, "Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end." He tells them right there, Jesus says he uses the first letter of the Greek alphabet, Alpha, the last letter of the alphabet, Omega, to tell them, I'm in the beginning, I'm at the end, I'm going to be there when your life is over. He says, I'm your final authority. Are we submitting to his authority? He's very clear about it in the New Testament. Read Matthew chapter 25. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. He tells us in Revelation that he's going to come, he's going to be victorious. He's the final judge. He lets us know that he's in charge. Are we submitting to his authority this year as we start 2019? You might say, Russ, I can do what I want, when I want, however I want to. My daughters have heard that 100 times in my house when I kind of give them the business, when they're kind of riding me a little bit. But you know, we all got to submit to authority, don't we? We just learned that lesson this past week, guys. 12:31, when I'm writing my property tax check and my hand is shaking and does not want to write those numbers down, I don't want to drop it off, I wait till the last minute of 12:31 that I have to hand that check in, because they're the final authority. What about when those lights pop on when you're driving down the highway? Uh-oh. You could try to outrun them. You could be Bo and Luke Duke, and we could read about you in the paper and see you on TV Channel 13 News. But we all have authority in our life. Paul writes it this way, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. See, we must realize he has the final authority in our lives. And everything that we do, we must pass before him for his approval. In Matthew chapter 19, a rich young ruler comes to Jesus. Same kind of question that the guy asked about the greatest commandment. He said, what one thing must I do to get eternal life? You know, make this simple for me. That's what guys like. Make it simple for me. And Jesus goes through all these different things. He finally tells him, go and sell everything you have. Then come back and follow me. What does it say about the young man? It says he went away sad. And this is how Jesus ended that story. He said, but many who are first will be last. And many who are last will be first. What does he mean by that? This year, we might have goals of losing weight, being more healthy, eating correctly, doing more exercise, reading our Bible each day, might want to give up a bad habit. All those things are good things. But when we come right down to it, it's a good time to take accounting, isn't it? The first of the year. What I do on January 1st, I get out my bill box, all the bills that I've thrown into my box, and I kind of divide them up. I put them in their piles to remind me, you know, so I can get to them easier later in the year if I need to for some kind of research or report. But it reminds me of where I spent my time and where I spent my treasure. The first of the year is a good time to take an account of where we're at. You know, the tick of a clock, the turning of a page of a calendar reminds us that time slips away from us all so quickly. I don't know about you, but one of my daughters gets us calendars and has pictures of all of our family. It's being pretty much dominated right now by our grandson. All right, not too many other pictures. If there is a picture of us, it has the grandson in there with it. But also on that calendar is birthdays, anniversaries. We also put reminders on there of doctor visits or upcoming things that we need to be at. That's kind of our physical calendar. Well, see, what we're doing this morning is our spiritual calendar. Seek his kingdom first. That's our focus. Love God first. That's where we're going to direct our energy. Love others first. That's our actions. And then finally, last one, realize who is first. Our final authority, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Is Jesus Christ first in your life? Have you named him as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you confessed his name? Today is the day. Or maybe you've done all that and you're looking for a church home to become part of a family that's serving Christ in God's kingdom. That's the place to do it, is right here. First couple Sundays of February, we're going to have some membership classes. If you're interested in placing your membership here, Ask me about those, and we'll get those set up and put out more information in the beginning, or later this month. But this is the year that we want to put Christ first, God first, and see God work in our church first.
This morning, we will continue our sermon series, First Things First. We'll be looking at Micah chapter 6, verse 8, to see what God wants from us. You're always welcome to worship with us at the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. We thank you for listening, and may God bless you this week with His peace and love.